Please pray with me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So it's great to be here on this Christmas Eve, great to slow down in this busy season and just take time to focus on the meaning of Christmas, to come and celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the first Advent. It's Christmas. Let's read the Christmas story out of Luke. I know it's familiar to all of you, and sometimes that's a problem. The more familiar we get with a passage, the less we really dig into it and really let it set in. May we be like Mary and be in awe and wonder as we think about God and his great plan to redeem sinful humanity. So let me read and then we'll discuss some of it. So in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each one to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Luke began that passage by saying, "in those days." And we can understand "in those days" as the days of Mary's pregnancy. She was with child, conceived by the Holy Spirit. She had just recently come from one of her relatives, Elizabeth, who also had a son about in the same time frame, about 6 months ahead of what Jesus would be. And it was another special birth. God allowed this elderly lady and her husband, who was a priest, Zechariah, to have this child, even though she couldn't bear children during the years that she could have been. God miraculously opened her womb and allowed her to have a child in her old age. And this child was none other than John the Baptist, who Isaiah prophesied about in years before, that he would be the one that would be the voice crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, make the path straight. So he was the one that was going to prepare the way for Jesus himself. So later on, we'll talk about the fullness of time. John the Baptist was key in this too. We also read about Caesar Augustus. He was the one who called this census or this registration. Just a little bit about him. He was the first emperor. He called himself the first citizen. He is known for bringing a long, long civil war to an end. And because of that, there was peace in the land. Pax Romana, I guess is how they would say it. And because of that peace, there was time to build bridges, build roads throughout this huge kingdom. And those we know would help Jesus later in his ministry, help him move around, and even more important, the apostles and the missionaries that took the gospel to the farthest ends of the earth. Those roads were key. So we don't know Caesar's motives for calling this registration, but we do know God's purpose. God orchestrated all this so he would have Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem so the baby could be born there. At that time, Mary and Joseph were living in the town of Nazareth, located in Galilee. Galilee was a big region around the Lake of Galilee and to the west. Lost my train of thought. Because Nazareth was his home, later on they would call Jesus a Nazarene. And even Paul once was accused of being a ringleader in the sect of the Nazarene. So maybe it wasn't always used in a good way. But Jesus did a lot of his ministry there in Galilee and around the Sea of Galilee there. Some months earlier, Mary was visited by an angel and told that she would be with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, apparently not knowing this, was planning on divorcing her. He still loved her. But because he was going to do this quietly and not bring her to public shame, even back then, Mary could have been stoned for this, because in other people's eyes, she may have committed adultery. And I think I jumped ahead of myself. They were betrothed. I don't know if I said that right, but similar to our engagement, but much more binding. They were considered husband and wife, even though they weren't even living together. There was a time that the man went and got his wife, but that time hadn't happened yet. That's why Joseph was, very, very concerned, wondering what he could do. And while he was contemplating on all this, he had a visit from an angel also in a dream and told him, "Don't fear, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit." Scripture says he obeyed, and he did as the Lord told him. And he took Mary as his wife, but it also says he did not know her until the child was born. So that's probably why Luke still says they were betrothed, because they had never been intimate. We can only imagine what was going on through the minds of these two young people. Mary carrying the Son of God. Mary and Joseph left Nazareth to go to Bethlehem. They had to travel through Galilee, Samaria, and into Judea. And they probably passed right through Jerusalem to get to Bethlehem. Bethlehem was about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem was a small town where King David was born, and where he was a shepherd boy on these same hills that we'll see talk about a little bit tonight. He was also anointed king there by Samuel about 1,000 years before. So being obedient to Caesar's decree, Mary and Joseph went there to register, because they were both of the lineage of David. The word Bethlehem means house of bread, very fitting for this Christ child who would one day say, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. The birth of Jesus, one short little verse, verse 7. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Very abrupt, to the point. We wish Luke would have maybe gave us some more information on that. There's a lot of questions there, but no room in the inn. Probably born in a stable. Wrapped in swaddling cloths, which was not unusual for children of that day. No earthly royalty there to greet him. God certainly could have arranged a spot for him in the inn, or even you would think back at the temple in Jerusalem or some place where royalty could be there, but this baby was holy. This birth was holy. God was there. God was with them. Their surroundings paled in comparison to this child who would forever change the world. This birth was all in God's perfect time. Galatians says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, born to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. The prophet Micah, some 600 years earlier, said, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah, yet from you will come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is of old, the Ancient of Days. So I'll read that last little bit again. Whose origin is of old, the Ancient of Days. This little child's origin was from times past. God told Abram at the time when he and his wife were old that they would have a child. They were way beyond bearing children. That he would have an offspring that would, through that offspring, all nations would be blessed. And that's pointing right to this child, Jesus. Prophet Nathan told David that his kingdom and his throne would be everlasting, would be forever. And again, prophecy pointing to Jesus. Way back in the garden when Adam and Eve first rebelled against God, God had a glimmer of hope there after really putting a curse on Satan, the man, and the woman, that someday the seed of the woman would crush the head of Satan. And Jesus is that seed. Satan's deception caused our first parents, Adam and Eve, to sin, resulting in all of us sinning, including you and me. So all of us are born in original sin. These are just several of hundreds of prophecies about this Christ child. They're not all about his birth, and they have not all yet been fulfilled, but many of them have been. So let's see what the angels said to Mary about this Christ child before she conceived. He said, you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The child will be called Holy, the Son of God. Nothing will be impossible with God. When the angel spoke to Joseph, this is from Matthew, the last few verses were out of Luke 1. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And again, Isaiah 7:14, we said it already tonight. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, means God with us. The angel spoke to the shepherds on the hillside, saying, fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy For all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Notice the good news. Jesus is the good news, right? He is the gospel. Without Jesus, there is no gospel. Great joy for all people that would believe in him. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Savior, Jesus, means Jehovah saves. He will save his people from their sin. Christ is a title synonymous with Messiah, which means anointed. He is the anointed one. And Lord, these two words, Christ and Lord, are only used right here in Scripture. And I didn't fact check this, but Christ and Lord, and most theologians agree that this can only mean Lord being understood to mean Yahweh, the great I am. This baby was fully God and fully man. The angel was joined by a multitude of others, praising and singing to God, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those whom he is well pleased. Glory to God, all praise goes to God alone. He is worthy. The angels were ecstatic with joy. They had been waiting for this moment as well. Peace on earth, despite our outward circumstances, an inner peace will come over any of us who have turned their hearts to the Savior through faith and repentance. Jesus says, in me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Fear not, I have overcome the world. So history was forever changed. A new covenant would soon be ushered in at his death, ratified by his blood. A covenant built on grace and faith and with heart transformation by the Holy Spirit's power. A sign was given to the shepherds where they would find this royal child in a manger, lying on some straw, swaddled in strips of cloth. Can we see the irony here? All these praises and accolades of who this child was, and then the angel says where you could find him. Humble in his humble birthing, the humble place that he was birthed in. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Shepherds made haste to see this child. Just think, the lowly shepherds were the first to see the Savior, other than probably his family. Their presence and the mutual sharing with Mary and Joseph maybe confirmed to Mary and Joseph that this truly was the Son of God. The shepherds that said they made known everything that they had heard and seen, and people wondered at what they said. So we can say that the shepherds were the first witnesses for our Lord. But then it says, Mary treasured all these things that she had heard about her son and meditated on them in her heart. She wondered, what would it be like to be the mother of the Son of God? What would he be like? Looking ahead to a passage I didn't read, just the next one up, when Mary and Joseph were at the temple after 40 days, you brought your child to the temple for the rite of purification. You also brought an offering, and there was an old man there, an old saint that named Simeon, who was promised by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die until he saw the Christ. And when Mary and Joseph came in, he was there, and he picked up the child, and praised the Lord that he could live to see the Christ. Also, he said to Mary and Joseph, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And he also said to Mary, and a sword will pierce your heart also. So Simon's prophecy, many would rise and believe and be saved, but many also would fall. The unrepentant would fall into judgment. And that Jesus himself would be opposed. His whole ministry was opposition. I was thinking, even on the cross, they were shaking their fist at him and telling him, come down from the cross if you're the Son of God. And they even wanted the sign changed. Just, they never let up. So that was his life. I thought I had a verse here to read. Well, then what he said to Mary about her soul, her heart being pierced, not literally, but just being a mother, the anguish of seeing what her son went through, leading even, she was there at the cross and watched him die. So, Isaiah prophesied that he would be despised and rejected by men, right? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That was his life here on this earth. Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. Joseph and Mary lived under the law. They were obedient to the law. And Jesus was obedient to the law too. He said he didn't come. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill the law. Scriptures say all who live under the law were under the curse of the law. The curse of the law required you to keep every bit of it. No one could keep the law perfectly, but Jesus did. Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. This was accomplished through living a sinless life, bearing God's wrath for our sin on Calvary's cross, and then rising on the third day to forever defeat sin and death. For our sake, God made him to be no sin, who knew no sin, so that we could all obtain the righteousness of God. There's a lot in this passage we did not discuss tonight, but my hope is that we leave here knowing who this baby is, God incarnate, and why he came. He came to save all who come to him in faith and repentance, and to give them the greatest gift ever given, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The more we understand our sinfulness, the sinfulness of our sin, the greater love and appreciation we will have for this Jesus. And he was named Jesus. This is how the passage closes. The name given to him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So let us continue to worship. You can stand if you would. Our great God and Savior, Christ the Lord.